Reflecting is very important for your small business. This is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, and we have business conversations for the Kawartha commute. I'm Brian Rump.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
All right, Matt, we're talking about reflecting today. Sort of end of the year, usually good time to reflect. How are you reflecting this year?
I suppose we are always reflecting on a daily basis, but I do very much enjoy intentionally taking the time to reflect on things. I feel like personally, it sometimes will hit me when I'm enjoying like a very simple moment with my kids. I swear it happened last Sunday. We're eating dinner. I was just so thankful that I had these great kids in my life. And that's like a great experience. But it's nice sometimes, like I said, to sit down and consciously think about these things from a business perspective and trying not to plan based on these reflections, but just simply thinking like, what happened?
Yeah, I think, again, that's really a good nuance between it's not about planning, but it's about reflecting, and they're fundamentally two different things. And to me, a lot of reflecting is about wins and good things, a lot of positivity. It might lead to some, you know, maybe some things you want to improve on or identifying some gaps. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, reflecting on wins, right? What are all the wins? What are the awesome things that you've done in life and business? Because I think we have a big focus culturally, that everything's supposed to be about like hustle and being productive and the next thing and working towards sort of running a race where there really is no finish line, but it's important to stop sometimes and sort of just see where you've been.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a good point. I've never really thought about reflecting strictly about good things, because that's what sort of happens naturally, I found. I'm always thinking about, okay, what was cool that happened over this quarter or this year? What worked? What was fun? What did I really enjoy? What do I want to continue to do? Rarely am I thinking of the negative things.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I wonder if I think about the negative things, not daily, but as they come.
Yeah.
Something bad happens or something negative happens. I try to do a good job once I've calmed myself down to reflect on them ad hoc, like right away, and think,
okay, yeah, that's good.
Why did that happen? What could I have done differently? Not to be cliche, but like, what is there to actually learn about this? And how can you manage this so this doesn't happen again in the future?
Yeah, and I think it's neat because I like that about reflecting in the moment on stuff like that. And I think two things. One, that's a good way to do it. Sometimes bad things just happen or mistakes just happen. I think one of the things when I reflect on that, or I reflect on mistakes or failures, if you do it in like a longer period, like 6 months or a year, you realize how little those things matter sometimes. So you get all worked up and excited about something, and then 6 months later, you don't even remember it, or it just worked out for the better. Like, you know, if you've ever been, I've never been fired from a job. But like if you're fired from a client or you fire a client, sometimes that's so stressful. And then a few months later, you're like, oh, that was the best thing that ever happened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I find that I have these moments, and it happened yesterday even, where something not great happened. Not the best email came my way. And I got really upset and really frustrated, and then just spent more time digesting it and thinking about it and kind of compartmentalizing it with how could I have not prevented this, or how could this have been done better? And then I start to go down this nasty path, which I think other small business owners can appreciate, where and this has happened more than once, where I literally start questioning everything. And I'm wondering, what am I doing? Why am I a marketer? Am I qualified to do marketing? Like, you're such a fraud. And like, I just start falling apart. And this happens almost every time I get like a not great email. And then all of a sudden you have a great conversation with someone later on and it completely changes your whole perspective. And it's just funny how like you live in these ebbs and flows as a business owner.
And I think that's part of some personalities too. A lot of entrepreneurs talk about that same thing, sort of like the imposter syndrome. I do the same thing all the time. Like, you reflect on something that you kind of screwed up or didn't do as good as you wanted to. But then it's funny because sometimes those situations, the client or somebody is like, man, this is awesome. Like, I've had that before too, where you might be way overthinking what you want to do for somebody, but to them, it's like exactly what they wanted. Like, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. And yeah, you got to sort of reflect on it and move on.
Yeah, that's, I think, a perception thing when you're dealing with how do you think something's going to turn out, and then you turn it over to a client or someone and they react very differently to it. That's something that I actually, I try to focus on a lot, and I've taught people this, like, the made up rule that I've come up with over the years called the 7 out of 10 rule, where I learned very early on in my career, you could be like busting your hump, spending hours upon hours on something, and you think it's perfect, and you present it to a client and they think it's just total garbage. And you're like, I don't have any more to give. Or I don't know how it could be better. And I've spent hours upon hours on this, and the client doesn't even think I'm close to this. So I started thinking, not that I'm not putting my best foot forward, but when I first started, more so, it was, I need to get this to a point where I think it's like a 7 out of 10. And then I'm going to present it to the client to check in when I can say, I still have more to give. Or they're like, this is perfect. And you're like, it's a 7 out of 10 to me. I'm ready to present. I'm ready to move on with that.
Oh, that's good. I love that. That's sort of like, I have a rule that's, you know, B plus is a pass or like a win.
Yeah.
And it comes from in grant writing. So my part of my professional background is getting grants and, you know, tens of millions of dollars, in winning funds, and some of the worst applications I've ever worked on have won. Some of the best haven't won. So it all depends. You know, there's different variables. I have one where it was a 4 p.m. grant deadline, and I remember someone called at 3:40. And it's like, okay, we have 20 minutes to do this. Luckily, they had all the stuff they needed. We sat on the phone. We did it. Usually, these are ones that take like days to write. And I was like, well, I guess we're not putting extra thought into it. So it was like the most direct writing I've ever done. It was like one sentence when you usually have like four paragraphs. And I was like, no way this is ever going to like win. But it did. And when I looked at it later, it was like comical how it was so good, but there was like no filler in it. But it was a really good fit for what the funding program was. And it wasn't a big surprise, but again, it's not always about being perfect. So that was a good one for me, just to realize, like, you know, B plus wins a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. You often, when you're submitting the grants, get a chance to revise them or have a second go with them, or?
Nope. Usually they're sort of one and done. Like, you apply, here's the deadline. You'll find out if you got it or not based on how many people applied, how much money is available, how good your application was, all of that. There are some where sometimes they'll come back and ask you additional questions, but it really depends on the program that you're working with. But, you know, I don't say this to be like, oh, just, you know, phone it in a little bit. But it's also a way to, like, I think it's so much in life, above average is awesome. If you can be consistently above average in a lot of things you do, like, you'll build success over time.
Absolutely. This is turning in more to a conversation about perception, but that's what it is a lot of time. If you're dealing with an industry like with grants, even where there's perception involved, and like it's someone else who has to review it and go through that, or my industry, marketing, where it is perception and it's subjective and people have different opinions about these things, you're never going to make everyone satisfied. You're probably never yourself going to be 100% satisfied. You need to do your best work and present something that you're comfortable putting out there, but it doesn't have to be perfect always. That's not the case for every industry, though. Like a restaurant owner or a bakery owner, like, they need to present their best perfect dish, and they get one go at it often, right? You're a tailor. You need to make sure that that piece of clothing fits perfectly the first time.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. And it's funny because, you know, to circle it back to reflecting, which I think is really important, is that you learn this stuff through reflecting, right? And looking back at sort of what you did and what happened as a result of that. You know, I love, one of my favorite exercises to do is to look back 6 months and think about where I was at that point. What did I know? How good was I doing at my job? It was my professional development. And I joke a bit that I want to be a little bit embarrassed about where I was at that point. I think, you know, for me, 2020 has been a bit of a tough year. So I think this is one of the first times in a while where if I definitively look back 6 months, I don't know that I've improved as much as I would have liked to, or I have before. But, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 years where I've been doing this, you know, it's been really neat to see, like, yeah, I've tangibly improved. I've learned new skills. You know, I've read new things that have, like, helped me change a little bit. And it's a really good exercise for, like, understanding how much time you have in front of you. And being like, man, if I can learn this much in 6 months, like, how awesome am I going to be when I'm, like, 75 years old? Whereas some people see it the other way. They're like, oh, man, I only have a few good years left.
Yeah. It's funny to think that the brain and the mind has the ability to expand and just constantly be absorbing all these new things as we continue to grow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's good to remember that, like, people who are experts get better. The Freakonomics podcast has some really good episodes on this. I'm pretty sure it's them. But how people get better, but sometimes we forget that. If you look especially at musicians, like, some musicians, they might have had, like, a hit song like 30 years ago and they're still going. Usually they're, like, way better now than they were back then. And I know some of my favorite bands that have been around a long time, you know, you sort of fall in love with their hits and some of their older stuff, but there's times where you listen to their newer stuff and it's just like, man, this is, like, better. Like, they're getting better at their craft because they have more time to work on it and practice it. And that applies in, like, everything that we do.
You would assume so, or you'd hope so. How often do you think that you would actually, like, go backwards or regress your skills?
Oh, it probably could happen, or you just don't practice it for a long time, or you give up and you try something else. I think that's another thing that people don't realize is, you know, again, maybe we're drifting from reflecting, but you might compare yourself to someone who's been doing something already for 10 years and you think, oh man, I'm not that good. I've been working hard at this for a year, but you just realize, like, you're going to get better at things. Like, you just have to keep practicing them, you know, keep doing it. I think that's especially true in business, right? When you start a business, you're like an infant trying to like learn things. Like, there's no way you can be super successful and know everything within a year, but you're going to get better and better and better at it, or you have the ability to anyway.
That's really funny. That's a very good way to put it, because I've been thinking throughout this conversation about my 2 years of business now. I'm like a couple months shy of 2 years. In the first year, I'm not going to say I didn't learn anything, but I don't know how much I tangibly learned in my first year. It was very much like an infant or a toddler going around bashing stuff, trying to fit into place, just literally trying to survive and
putting everything in your mouth.
Like babies, when they are learning to walk, I don't think they're really learning anything. They're just like kind of following momentum. And that's what I did in my first year. I was just learning how to execute stuff and how to complete work on different platforms and softwares, and trying to learn all these things about the actual business side of things. I don't think I actually learned anything in my first year.
I bet you did.
Until this year, in my second year, where I was able to actually learn business type of things, meaning organizational stuff, processes, team, culture, management, and then continuing to like polish my marketing craft or getting better at strategy and things like that, starting to learn about what is value, what value am I bringing to the table. This year I started recognizing I need to be bringing more people into the team, whether it be accounting and bookkeeping or like lawyers, or even internally like contractors helping me with things like any of the services that I offer. And in year one, it wasn't like that. It was literally just reacting. That's all it was year one. It was strictly reacting. And I don't know if I was learning anything. You're going to disagree with me, but
I definitely am, because I think like, I don't have children, but like babies learning how to walk, all of a sudden they can walk. Right? Or it's like riding a bike. Like, you fall off, you wobble all the time, but then there's going to be a day where you just don't wobble. And you're like, how come I didn't know how to ride a bike before?
Yeah. Like,
that's sort of how I think a lot of things are. And again, reflecting on that helps you do things like trusting the process of just grinding it out, getting a little bit better every day, sometimes reflecting, sometimes just crashing through and like seeing where you're going. But it's about just that forward momentum.
Yeah. I spent some time a couple months ago reflecting. I had this idea recently where I try not to do too much reflecting or planning based on the business year, but more so my birthday, like
that
new year. And for me, that's what I'm going to focus on. That's my happy new year. Is now I'm going to be, how old am I going to be next year? 34. So how am I going to improve myself over the next year in my age of 33? And that was an enjoyable experience. Like, I actually was very aware. I took the time to, I think I took the day off, or it was the morning off. And I went somewhere outside because it was still nice enough, and took like a bit of a hike, and then spent time trying to focus entirely on And I spent a lot of time reflecting. I honestly had 4 or 5 great new business ideas or things that were related to my business. I was like, this is not the time, Blaine, for you to be coming up with this stuff. I'm trying to focus on something else.
Yeah, but sometimes that's what happens, right? Your brain absorbs it, does the reflecting, and then it starts sort of opening up new projects.
It's amazing. Like, if you spend time, and I'm no expert, I like feel like I'm very much a novice at this, but if you can spend time trying to manage your brain and what it does through however you want to do it, mindfulness, meditation, there's probably hundreds of other ways. It's fascinating how you can turn off your brain. And I'll argue with people all the time that you're in control of your thoughts, you're in control of what's going on up there. And if you're able to turn it all off and think about something, it's amazing the great things you can come up with and evolve and grow and think of, and not just be cluttered with all the other day-to-day nonsense professionally and personally.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely very powerful. And we just realize we have all these tools at our disposal like that to help us get, you know, better and better at things or more focused at different things, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I find specifically when I'm out in nature, that sounds so lame, but when I'm out and like not on my phone, leave my phone at home or wherever, and I'm actually doing some mindfulness stuff or just paying attention to being outside, which some people might not understand what that even means. But if you are literally focusing in on what's around you as much as you can versus what's going on in your head, that's when I become the most clear and I can come up with ideas, or whether they're intentional or not, that's where I find I have like some good breakthroughs and able to think like really nice and clearly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Which is, I think, yeah, it's important to do that. And I think just the whole exercise of reflecting, taking those like, you know, step outside of sort of the tornado you're in now, it helps you recognize, you know, reality sometimes, recognize different trends. You know, I have some notes I prepared here. You know, we're recording this in 2020, and it's been a crazy year, probably one of the craziest of my lifetime anyway. But I think if you reflect on the year specifically and some of the things that have happened sort of through the pandemic, which we're still living in, you know, it's almost that reminder about the foundational stuff or the stuff that doesn't really change. You know, for a business specifically, it could be things like the importance of, you know, marketing, the importance of a sales funnel, the importance of communication within your own team, right? And being able to sort of change things fast and communicate them to people, keep people, you know, engaged and stress-free. The importance of being up to date on technology and seeing where some of those technology trends are going, and you might get pushed towards them. And, you know, just sort of simple things like being organized, right? And how that helps in emergencies, or being able to deal with surprises. So I think, you know, the more you reflect, you realize those core things are kind of always important. You know, it's like personal stuff, like professional development is important. You know, learning how to relax and unplug is important. You know, fitness, nutrition is important. And, you know, the only way you can maybe affirm that sometimes is through reflecting.
Yeah, for sure. The pandemic was very selfishly fine for me. I didn't know anyone that was affected by it, very thankfully. So I took that time to focus on myself as much as possible. I spent a bit more time with my kids. I do a pretty good job of that already. But I spent more time focusing on myself. I made being active and fitness a part of my daily routine. And then I also, this might seem like the complete opposite, I watched so many movies throughout the quarantine, and I was getting away from that there was times where I was like starting to work in the evening, which I'm not a fan of. I'd gotten away from it, and then it was like kind of creeping back. And I found, as like, I also was running around a lot too before the quarantine, right? I was going out and visiting friends or whatever in the evening. And I just found watching movies at night or watching TV is the best thing for me to do to unwind at the end of the night, where I can actually just unplug. And I watched a good amount of documentaries. There's some really good ones. I tried to watch like a mix of heavy stuff, but then I got into just as much type of rubbish as humanly possible, like action movies or just comedy. That was great to just turn your brain off and just watch nonsense sometimes. It got to the point where I was alternating. I would go, let's watch something that I know is going to be good and maybe heavy and I'll something. But then I want to watch The Rock just destroy people in the next.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's good to know that about yourself too. Like, what is the best way for you to turn your brain off? And there's a reason why we have things like TV and movies. And I think a lot of the traditional advice is always like, oh, don't watch that. It's a waste of time. You should be grinding all the time. But in reality, I think, you know, you have to learn what is works for you and what parameters around that are reasonable, right? So that you can understand now, like, hey, when I get wound up, I need to maybe sit and watch a terrible movie, like, and just enjoy it, right? And I think that's super important to be able to do.
Yeah, and I felt guilty about this for a long time, especially in year one of my business, where if I was at home, my kids were asleep, and I wasn't working, I was wasting my time, or I had like a huge issue with this. So like I couldn't sit there and not work. But then I was just wound up all the time, and I'd go to bed and I couldn't fall asleep and everything. But I helped like throughout quarantine, like I started watching, like I said, documentaries, which I was like, well, I'm going to sit here and at least I'll learn something. And it was awesome. I learned a lot of cool stuff, but it was also really heavy. I was watching a lot of like social inequality type of documentaries, and it was just heavy. So then I found
it's hard.
Yeah. Then I found like it was nice every once in a while, like I said, to hop over to like just total nonsense. And it would just melt your brain. And it would end, and the movie would usually suck, and that would just be the end of it. That was maybe my biggest learning from the quarantine. How many movies suck? I watched like 60 movies over those 3 months. I saw 5 good movies that whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's a whole other, I think, conversation. But it's also fascinating what people and their craft and like, making movies and good movies are hard to make, and sometimes you just like bad stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, like it's bad, but hey, I enjoyed it. Like, it's fascinating, and you know, it is helpful too. Like, people like that stuff, right? Like, people like to watch stupid movies, so make the people stupid movies, and they're helpful. And I think, you know, learning too that you need to unwind and watch movies is also a great reflection as well, so that you're not feeling guilty anytime you're not working. So yeah, that's, you know, if you're listening to this still, good for you. You know, the, in a business, you know, that is important as well. Like, or maybe more important, like being able to, you know, shut yourself off, and you can really only do that with some reflecting on that stuff so that you can plan when you're going to wedge some of that stuff into your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Any final thoughts?
No, I think that's about it. That was like a big bender of what this whole episode and conversation was about. I don't even know what to summarize.
Oh, well, I think it's good. It's a reflecting one. You know, this is going to go out Christmas time. So it's going to be awesome. All right, everyone. So that sounds like an episode to me. This is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast. If you want to be on the show, have an idea for a show, any feedback at all, send it on over to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.